It's great to be back. Thank you. Let's pray. Great Father, our Creator, you are a true and good God. Apart from you, we are fools, ignorant. Yet you stoop to give us your word. And you sent your Son to become like us. Help us to learn and to see what you have for us in your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. A short time ago, I met a good friend on our back porch. He sat down and I said, "Hey, what's going on?" He's a young man, just got married in his first job. So he had a lot on his mind. But he only spoke for a few minutes and then he stopped, looked at me and said, "What about you? What's going on with you?" And I looked at him and said, "I've been thinking about the second coming." Started talking about that. He listened. I got done saying a few things, and then he thought for a moment, looked at me and said, "I hear you. But Christians have always believed that Christ would return in their generation. What is different about now?" I mean, isn't that a great question? I just love great questions, don't you? It's just such a wonderful thing. What is different now? I have a very simple purpose with you this morning. I want to persuade you through God's word that we live in a time where new things are happening that have never happened before. New things have happened in the last few years that should call us to a much higher level of watchfulness and readiness. And I can tell you, I've been thinking about this now for several months, and it has changed me. It's changed the way I think about my death, my life, and how glorious it is to be saved and to know Christ. We're going to do this by looking at two very familiar texts. They're sometimes called the Dominion Mandate and the Great Commission. But we're going to look at them from a slightly different point of view. Now, I hold to a style of interpretation called canonical interpretation. Canonical interpretation honors the Bible as a whole, as a book, as a canon. But think of it as just a book. In fact, Bible means book. Holy means set apart. So your Holy Bible is a different And books are amazing things because, by definition, a book has a beginning, a middle, and an end. There has to be a page one. There's a bunch of other pages. And there is a final page. So if you're going to understand any book, where do you start? We're not going to start at the end. We're going to start at the beginning of creation and the beginning of the church. So, I get to say these wonderful words that every Bible preacher, teacher loves to say. Turn in your Bibles to page one. Okay? Or scroll, slash, whatever you do, to page one. This is called the Dominion Mandate. It's called many other things, cultural mandate, what have you. But I like Dominion Mandate, and you'll see why as we read together. But we're going to go to eventful day six, when God, after making a good creation, comes to our creation. The creation of man, of humanity. Read with me Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule dominion. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number." And here it is, right here. "Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." You and I were created by God to rule. We really are a race of kings and queens, princes and princesses, formed by God to bring his rule to a glorious world. But we fell. And in our fall, yes, the image of God was corrupted, but not destroyed. And so the dominion mandate was corrupted, but not destroyed. Have we filled the earth and subdued it? Let's think about that for a moment. I'd like to advance the idea that our world is virtually full. Virtually not in the computer sense, okay? That's how most people think about virtual. But what virtual means in other meanings, and its first meaning, is strong almost. It means like really, really almost. Like right there. Think about it. Humans live everywhere. People live in the South Pole year round. The Bedouins have lived in the burning Arabian deserts for hundreds of years. We live everywhere. Think about the dominion mandate. God spoke to two people and then said, "Fill the earth." Anyone want to take a guess of world population? Not rhetorical, I'm curious. $12 billion. It's a good guess. $8 to $9 billion are the answers I saw. But that's quite a difference from $2 to $8 billion. And you should know I teach English as a second language at home. Every day I talk to people all over this earth. I talk to a lot of people from China. And do you know what they say to me? There's a lot of people here. There's just a lot of people here. That's right. About 1 billion of those 8 billion live in China. But I would also say we're not full yet. Because if we were full, the story's over. When you say to your teenage child, fill up the gas tank, what do you mean? Put $5 in? Put it in if you have an old gauge like I have. Put it in until the gauge touches the F. No. What you mean is fill it to the place it was intended to be full. In other words, fill the earth and subdue it is a completable mandate. He intended two to become many, and he intended this commission to stop at a certain point. Fill the earth and subdue it. Secondly, fill is tied to subdue. Fill and subdue go together. So now I want to talk about a second idea, and I want to change my verb tense. Our earth has been subdued. Follow me on what I'm going to say here. Got to back up a little bit, but I'll bring you back. When I was in high school, I fell in love with wilderness. I lived in California, and when I was in high school, my friends took me to the High Sierra Mountains around Yosemite National Park. I loved it. You can't explain these things. Just, I loved being in the mountains. The wilderness just made me alive. So I dropped out of college after a while. I moved to Yosemite so that I could hike every chance I could get. This ended in me walking about 1,200 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail in 1982 from Mexico, about 3/4 of the way through California. Wilderness. A place where I could receive no help from other humans was 5 hours away from my house by car. 5 hours away. I could drive to Yosemite, put on a backpack, and in 15 minutes, I could shout and nobody would hear me. I was alone with nature and God. So as life went on and I did other things, I would follow hikers because I liked the long trails and what they did. But I noticed them changing. It stopped being about wilderness and started being more like exercise. And I began to think. Well, first, cell phones. I vividly remember being in camp one day, and this guy in the camp next to me pulls out a cell phone and calls his wife. And that felt kind of weird to me. Then, later on in life, I began to hear about InReach. Anybody hear about InReach? Know what it is? Okay. Hikers began talking about InReach, and I'm like, what is that? So there's this nifty thing called the internet. I Googled it. So there's these satellites that surround our Earth. The satellite phones used. But satellite phones were expensive and big. Hikers weren't going to take satellite phones. So what InReach did, they created a device that looks like a flip phone, that doesn't weigh very much, where you can get a subscription for $10 a month to text from anywhere in the world. Anywhere on the earth. Part of the basic InReach service is if you send and press the emergency button, you will be instantly connected to a worldwide rescue of network, and the progress of your rescue will be sent to you in messages. In the early 2000s, wilderness is gone. There is no place on earth where the hand of man cannot reach out and touch you. No place. There is no wilderness. It's gone. There are no countries left to explore. The Americas were the last. If you want to go to a new place, start a new life, there's no new place to go. That happened in the early 2000s. And never before in the life of humanity could you read the words, subdue the earth, and say yes. You can say the words, yes, you and I have subdued this earth. That's done. And we fill it. That is done. Now let me backfill a little bit, okay? Think of it this way. Every inch of our earth has been mapped and photographed. We've climbed Mount Everest, the highest mountain. We've gone to the deepest places of the Mariana Trench, 36,000 feet below sea level. We've built a skyscraper in Dubai, 2,717 feet high. We've dug a hole in Russia, 7.5 miles deep. We've harnessed the power of fire, water, steam, geothermal energy, oil, natural gas, electricity, winds, tides, hydrogen. Through atomic power, we can both break it and fuse it for energy, and we can also destroy the world. Sound guy, you remember Dune? You said you remembered me talking about Dune. Well, let me talk about Dune again. I love Dune. It's one of my favorite books. And in Dune, Paul Atreides said, "He who destroys a thing controls it." The ability to destroy the earth is a form of fallen dominion, and we have it. We've domesticated 36 animals. We use over 7,000 plants for food. We can communicate anywhere in this world. And finally, think about what happened right over here in North Carolina. Follow me on this. This will blow your mind if you think about this. In the early 1900s, the Wright brothers, out here, okay, in North Carolina beaches, did the first powered flight, okay? In the early 1900s, 1903-ish, okay? They flew for 12 seconds, went a couple of yards. By 1967, less than 70 years, less than a human lifetime, men got in a spaceship and flew to the moon. And two men walked on it in less than 70 years. My friends, the ability to leave this world is dominion. What I'm trying to say to you is that in Genesis, God gave us a story. It started with two people, and he told them to fill the earth. He said, you, as two people, need to have dominion over this earth. That's your story. That's where this is going. And then there's a middle, and we've done the middle. We have come to the end. That could never be said till now. Now, for those of you who time sermons, relax. My next point will be much shorter, much easier. Let's now talk about the Great Commission. Turn with me to the beginning of the church, Matthew chapter 28. Jesus is meeting with 11 men. And he tells them the most extraordinary commission. The most astonishing thing he says they must do. Read with me. Toward the last verses, Matthew 28. All authority, dominion, okay, rule. Do you see the connection? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Do you see the similarities? Extend the rule of God and also timed command, fulfillable commission, make disciples in all of the earth. And there will be an end. This is astonishing. These are just 12 ordinary men. They don't have mission societies. They don't have seminary educations. All they have is Jesus, who's never going to leave them. And he says, cover this earth with what I've been and what I've taught. Go! And here we are. Here we are. You know, there's a lot of chatter about unreached people and what that means and what doesn't. So I went online and did a brief survey. How many peoples are left? On the low end, I found 174. On the high end, some people go into the thousands. But thankfully, there's another verse. Canonical interpretation, scripture inter scripture, that sort of gives us a clearer bar about the end. Matthew 24:14. Don't need to turn, just listen. Jesus is teaching about the end times, and he says this. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Dear friends, that is very clear. You're going to preach this gospel in every nation, and then this story is done. I teach English as a second language, I told you. I have a backdrop. I got a big world map. It's about 7 feet long, about 4 feet wide. And I love that map. I love maps. And sometimes when I have a break or I'm waiting for something, I'll just look at that map and look at the city. Sometimes I pray, sometimes whatever. But gosh, our world is small. It's so small now. Around the world in 80 days? Jules Verne wrote that in 1870, about 150 years ago. On commercial flights, sitting down, you can do it in about 54 hours. Has the gospel been preached in all of those nations on that map? Not disciples made, not churches planted. Has the gospel been preached in every nation? No doubt. There is no question about that. That's done. I don't know when it happened, but that's done. Yeah, you say, well, the Great Commission's not done. You're right. But it's a to-do list. Do you realize how astonishing that is? The Great Commission is a to-do list. Huh? Knocked off another country. Boom. Started with 11 men. Men who just a few hours ago were hiding because they were afraid. What bewildering and astonishing prophetic accuracy. When Moses wrote the Pentateuch, did he know there were going to be 8 billion people? Did he even know how big the world was? Moses lived in Egypt, walked to the outskirts of the Promised Land. That's all he knew. Moses had no idea how big this world was. You and I do. We know it's full, and we know it's subdued. The Great Commission is an astonishing labor of human accomplishment. Astonishing. No other religion has gone over all the earth like Christianity. None. And none ever will. Because every other religion is bound by culture. Christianity is not. So I hope I persuaded most of you. I'm persuaded. But I know there are some of you probably here that say, Martin, nah, you don't get it. There was a big bang. Then the laws of physics took over and everything just happens. Everything just goes on and on. This happens, this happens, this happens. All cause and effect. If we could fully understand the rules of physics, we could know everything that was going to happen. But there aren't these big interruptions. This story's not going to end with the coming of Christ. Okay. I do want you to turn to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. And we're going to read 2 Peter 3:3. I'll wait because I want you to see this. Okay? Let's read together. From God's prophetic and true words. Peter says in 2 Peter, he's old, he's finishing. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming, he promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. The very fact you believe that is a sign of the end. These ideas of the Big Bang and the rule of physics were started by a geologist named James Hutton, who taught us about uniformitarianism. The present is the key to the past. Just observe what happens now and you can figure everything out. That's what most people believe. That's what modern science believes. That is not what your Bible says. You can know the unknown past only because God tells you what happened. There was a creation. There was a flood. There was a Christ, an incarnation. He did raise from the dead. I don't know that because I saw it. I know it because God told me. Do you? Is that enough for you? Do you believe this story is going to end? I just want to say that. Does this story end? One of the most terrifying thoughts I've ever thought was that it never will. That is terrifying. That, my friends, is bad. But the idea that this will end with Christ on the throne is good news. You know, a book is such a wonderful thing. I love books. And you can do this also with a, you know, like a Kindle. But when you open a book, page one, the possibilities are astonishing. Who are these people? What are they going to do? What's going to happen? You learn the characters, decisions are made. Wow, man. A story, it's going this way. But you know, with every page, it gets wider and then it starts to come in. And boy, as the pages get thinner, you feel like the end is coming. Oh, it's coming. I can feel it. And then you turn that last page. The beginning's over. Creation's done. We fell. There was a flood. God began Israel. God wiped Israel out. Christ came. God became a man. He died for the sins of the world, was resurrected, told 11 normal guys to carry this to the earth, fill it, subdue it, carry this gospel. Is this not the end of this story? Jesus died. When you see these things begin to happen, lift up your heads. Why? To look around. See what is happening now. And we'll start to do that next week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are alive. You reign now in the heavens. Finish what you began at the cross and the resurrection. Come and be our King now. In Jesus' name, amen.